بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسلام عليكم جميعا أخواني وأخواتي العزيزات ورحمة الله وبركاته. Again, today, due to a technical failure, I have to say sorry on behalf of the organizers that they will not be able to screen it again. Although they have tried their best, and unfortunately, the file is ready, everything is ready, but there are some technical problems, so today again we won't be able to put it on screen, and I'm sorry for that. I have to start with announcing that we are going to arrange for a seminar and a workshop that is dedicated to discussing mental health problem, and that's going to be organized after the day of Ashura, few nights after that. And the reason for organizing this seminar, as you may know, that there are different Muslims of their backgrounds. Some of them are from Lebanon, some of them are from Morocco, and they are living in these countries, and sometimes they are coming with the concept of obsession, the سيطرة الجن على قول الناس هذا يقول تلبس فيه الجن دخل فيه الجن. Although this practice and the exorcism has been existing amongst Christians as well, we felt the need to address this from a sophisticated religious angle and a scientific angle. Why? Well, we are in the 21st century. When are we going to discuss these matters seriously? People speaking about jinn, and they say Quran did mention jinn. So, this woman is obsessed with jinni. And they say sometimes 20, 24 jinnis have, done the job. This presentation originates from a work that has been presented to an international conference in Manchester in cooperation with the University of Toronto. Inshallah, when everything is organized, you receive the flyer, inshallah, and you will be able to participate in this seminar and workshop. Another opportunity for our brothers and sisters, those who want to ask their questions. I am asking the organizers, they are going to deliver you, inshallah, a small piece of paper. You got your pens, write your questions, and all your questions, inshallah, will be answered when we have the time to do that, either in the beginning of our lectures or while finishing each lecture. So, if you are ready, sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف أنبيائه وسيدي رسله من اسمه في السماء أحمد وفي الأرض محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الأطياب الأطهار وأصحابه المنتجبين الأخيار واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم وبغضيهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. As you know, brothers and sisters, we are discussing Imam Hussein's revolution as an everlasting source of and for inspiration. Today's topic, we are going to speak how tragedies occur in societies. And we try to establish a correct understanding of the Husseini message. That is related to the crucial concept, death and life. As well, we're going to discuss as an examination of the ethical problems that have contributed, or rather paved the way, for the tragedy of Karbala. You remember what we said yesterday when we discussed those who speak and try to present an ideology which is full of contradictions, inconsistency. And I would say, we really feel pity for those who are content for their people to remain ignorant. In our presentation, we had some pictures and some caricatures as well. At least today we have had a screen, so inshallah tomorrow we'll have the presentation on the screen, inshallah. But you know, just like someone who is enjoying something and the others are deprived of that, what can I do? I would say, inshallah, then you receive it, we'll put them online. That's the only options that we've got. Especially why we feel pity, especially when they provide them with inconsistent ideology. Let's take an example by Christians. You know, Christianity, it originates and it was revealed to those people as a religion of monotheism. We all know that there are three monotheistic faiths. Those three monotheistic faiths are Judaism, Christianity and Islam. So if Islam is a monotheistic faith, Christianity is as well a monotheistic faith. So if it is a monotheistic faith, they have this belief in what is called Trinity. So God is one, but at the same time, we're talking about three. So what are these three? How you bring them in consistent formulation? Logically, how? There is no way. Either it is one or there are three. So how can you bring them together? The same thing actually applies to those who believe that all the Sahaba are Adil. Correct. Their attitudes were accepted and approved by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If Ghadir Khum, for example, which is a historical incident, which took place during the last day of Hijrah, after that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, would be trivialized and not given that importance, it feels like many things would be like in the public, social, religious, spiritual arenas, all are not in their proper places. Why? Someone who is qualified to be a leader has been deprived leadership. Someone who is being taught, educated to be on that position, to be a leader, is not a leader. Now can you imagine that you have studied medicine, you became a doctor, a physician. Once you finish that, you will be offered a job as a, you know, mechanic for a car. What has this to do with that? Once you feel sorry, what about that money, that lump sum that has been, you know, given to you to study? What about your struggle to study every night? All have been wasted. All have been a waste, just a waste of time. for nothing. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, who was meant to be a khalif, a leader for Muslims, is not a khalif. But it is actually only later generation, because we're talking about social issues, only later generations would be able to witness what a devastating incident took place. And in this caricature, actually, we had, I know it is small, but I don't have another choice. It's actually a cat being involved with an owl. They got married. So the second generation would be a mixture of an owl and a cat. Now this owl has got a tail, as you can see. Well, definitely you can't see here, I know that. But listen what he's had to address his different parents. Mom, Dad, you don't know what it's like for me being a mixed race. Mixed race. Of what? Of a cat and an owl. Can the father, so-called, you know, cat, can the mother, i.e. An owl, which is a bird, can they realize what is this little animal, poor animal, is suffering? No. It's only the second generation who will be able to understand that. And that's why the fatal incidents that took place in Saqifa could not be realized what a devastating condition would be happening in the future. Only during the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, during Ashura. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lessons when he raised his hand, when he raised Ali's hand, what were his lessons? What did he want to say? When he raised, after having praising the right hands for their astonishing achievements, and not to trivialize them, minimize their significance, or deprive them of what is rightfully theirs, this is the Prophet lesson for us. And a second lesson is to promote good and prohibit evil, i.e. Amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. This is the prophetic tradition, and this is the prophetic lesson for each and every one of us. To promote good and to prohibit evil, and not do it the other way around, because unfortunately nowadays we have it the other way around. If someone would go to a mosque, unfortunately some parents would say, why do you go to the mosque? There are so many bad people there. Don't go to the mosque. Sometimes if you tell them that he's having a picnic with some of his friends, or going to a discotheque, for example, disco, that's fine, that's a pub, no problem. It's exactly the other way around. The Prophet ﷺ asked us to promote good and to prohibit evil, we are doing the other way around. And don't tell me the Prophet ﷺ didn't know that. No, he knew it. And he told his ummah, كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذَا تَرَكْتُمُ الْأَمْرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفَ وَنَهَيْتُمْ وَتَرَكْتُمُ النَّهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You would forsake your duty, let your Islam down, and you would not promote good and prohibit evil. أَيَكُونُ ذَلَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Is this going to happen? They asked him. He said, yes, this will happen. كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذَا أَمَرْتُمْ بِالْمُنْكَرِ وَنَهَيْتُمْ عَنِ الْمَعْرُوفِ. If a young man or a young lady wants to get married, wants to accomplish their faith, and I can see our youth here, face is very happy and shining because it's about marriage. When they want to get married, our parents would tell them, why do you want to get married? That's a big burden, man. Forget it. Why don't you help them? Why don't you support them? Let them be free and enjoy their life. You know, but we are living in the 21st century and this is something from the old, you know, and we are very, not that old-fashioned. Old-fashioned. So the Prophet gave his daughter, while she was a young lady, he wasn't following this, you know, characterization to be an old-fashioned. كيف بكم, he's telling Muslims, predicting the future. كيف بكم إذا رأيتم المنكر معروفا والمعروف من منكر. You would see things exactly the other way around. Exactly the other way around. As the Iranian would say, ورونه. As I am, ورونه نشوف. It's exactly the other way around. Studying is not good. Making money is good. Even if it would include people to be involved in selling drugs, that's fine, you know, he's making money, profit. But if he's a student, poor child, he doesn't make, you know, good profit. No. إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الْمُنْكَرَ مَعْرُوفًا وَالْمَعْرُوفَ مُنْكَرَ. It's even worse. The Prophet ﷺ has reached the peak. That's the last level that the Muslim Ummah would suffer from. And this is the problem of Muslim Ummah since the day of Ashura. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَجُعُونَ. Why? Because it would be calamitous and sometimes I would say catastrophic. What are other lessons of the Prophet ﷺ? To prioritize the most important matters over for the commonplace usual thing. You know, we have to think about our priorities. What should we prioritize first? And we know that what is most important should be prioritized. We are always doing it the other way around again. Something which is not important will be prioritized. That's why we think about our youth practice only from, you know, how they are doing, how they are, you know, fulfilling what we expect from them outwardly, not inwardly. What is most important is their faith, is their belief inside. This is what is for us most important. So you have to promote their love, their devotion. This is for us is the most important thing. Whether he has got a long beard, a short beard, I don't care about that. Tell me how he is really in love with his imams, with Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, with his Quran. Then I would say, yes, he is successful. She is successful. Now, while talking about catastrophic, when would catastrophic result occurs? I have just highlighted a few points here. And let's see those bullet points together. One of the problems, knowledgeable Muslims seek to live as recluses. To live as a recluse. And remain in a state of total apathy. Total apathy. You see, the problem is once we've been ordered that those who are knowledgeable people, they have to go around, spread the word of Allah, teach people truth. What's happening that these who are knowledgeable, they would seek to live as recluses, in isolation. It's not what's called in Quran, وَاَعْتَزِلُهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. No! اعتزال in this context is a correct action by those leaders of the divine teaching. Rather, it is انعزال. You see what I mean? انعزال, not اعتزال. انعزال, that they have been influenced by the society and they were just being pushed, kept in the corner. This is what is a danger for a Muslim society. First. Second, ignorant individuals will take over. Because those who are knowledgeable have been kept and pushed to the corner. Those who are ignorant will take over. Quite natural. Those ignorant individuals pretend to have knowledge. And here is the big problem. Those who are knowledgeable have been kept and pushed to the corner. Those who are ignorant were given opportunity and they are pretending to be knowledgeable. And commence lecturing, instructing, or as the second caliph was discussing once the case of leadership with Ibn Abbas, you know what did he tell him, the second caliph? He said, do you know why Quraysh, he said Quraysh, he didn't say it was himself, Quraysh didn't like Ali to be the caliph. Why? Because they just didn't like it, actually. That prophethood is amongst you, Banu Hashim. Imama is amongst you, Bani Hashim. They just didn't like that. But the question is, who are you to say what is right and what's wrong? And who has given you the authority to speak on behalf of the whole Quraysh? Who are you? This is what we call, you know, those who are ignorant would come to, you know, pretend that position to be knowledgeable. And once he was speaking on the member, you know, above the member, and he was saying, why you women, you are asking for a high dowry? Those who have asked their husbands for a high dowry, I'm going to confiscate that and reduce it. And one of the women who was sitting in that audience, she said, who are you to tell us that? The Prophet himself didn't say that. And Quran said, even if you have offered them qintar min al-dhahab, so much gold, you are not allowed to confiscate any of it. Are you more knowledgeable than Allah and the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
And that's why I said in this third bullet point that unqualified leaders begins to rule and lead the Ummah. That is a devastating outcome of what, unfortunately, Muslims have suffered from. Surely, only devastation can then be expected. So what is the first factor then that contributed to Karbala? It's actually lay within the Muslim society. Now I want you to just think about that and please try to follow. We are living in universities, work environments, we study, we work together, we have our offices. Haven't you been to a Muslim country or working with some Muslims, and haven't you witnessed that there are people who are sometimes, well, they are Muslims anyway, but their mentality, due to being jealous, just being jealous, they can't see and they cannot observe people who are better than them. Haven't you seen that? Can't you witness sometimes that people just cannot tolerate, see others are a bit, you know, better than them? That's all. Well, in fact, I believe this is one of the crucial factors that has led to Karbala. Why? During that very conversation between the second Khalifa and Ibn Abbas, Ibn Abbas said, "Oh no, 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 who are you to say we hated that, we didn't like that? Quraysh should have followed what Allah has chosen for them." And he said, "Oh no, no, it is, oh, you jealous people." He said, "No, نَحْنُ الْمَحْسُودُونَ. There are others who are jealous, not we." And it is actually Iblis who was the first person to be described as jealous by Quran. The attitude of those who are unable to swallow, let alone digest the idea, you know, the image that Imam Ali's hand being raised above all. No, they couldn't swallow that. Why would he be, you know, giving that authority? During Ghadir Khum, he was being asked to be addressed, "Assalamu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen." Some of them didn't like that, obviously. And they came to the Prophet, "Is it from you? Or is it from Allah?" Oh yeah, now that you're, it's, you know, the last day of Hijrah. Now you do have a doubt about the Prophet or something. He may say something that's not, you know, originated from the divine teaching. He said, "No, it is from Allah." And then they came to Ali, "Bakhum bakhlaka ya Ali." Well, there you go. Now you are, لَقَدْ أَمْسْبَحْتَ وَأَمْسَيْتَ مَوْلَايَ وَمَوْلَى كُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ مُؤْمِنٍ. You became now a leader for all Muslim Ummah. And by the way, if you want to find this translation of this conversation, you'll find it in a Sirah Nabawiyyah. The author is a very traditional, classical author, Ibn Kathir. You'll find it in that translation, which was done by a Western man, published by government publication, and you'll find it there. He said, "A master." You became a master, which means mawla. لَقَدْ أَصْبَحْتَ مَوْلَاي means master. You are the leader. It's not what some ignorant Muslim will say, you know, mawla means he's just your friend, you know. Oh, no, no, no. This is not the case. For those who hated and could not swallow the hands of Ali being raised, those people resemble that of those who committed the merciless crime of Karbala. And I know what I'm talking here about. You know? Take one example of that. When Imam Hussein salatullah wanted to pray, what did they say? "Do you want to pray?" Say, "Yes." "لا تقبل منك." "It won't be accepted from you." "Who are you? Are you God? Who are you to speak that this prayer would be accepted or would not be accepted?" They even pretended to be like fake God. "لا تقبل منك." And one of them became angry. He said, "Do you claim that this prayer won't be accepted from the grandson of the Prophet ﷺ and would be accepted from you?" Actually, it has got a continuous a phrase, وَتُقْبَلُ مِنْكَ يَا حِمَارِ. Actually, those who are Arab, they know what he has said. وَتُقْبَلُ مِنْكَ يَا حِمَارِ. What's more, one of those factors are evil eye, that hates someone for
just for being better than itself. That's all. That evil eye could not watch Fatima, for example, being awarded the great land of Fadak. Why should she be awarded the great soil of Fadak, the great land of Fadak? Why? Therefore, this great territory was later on confiscated by a later caliph. They didn't wait. It was confiscated. The only reason that one could imagine for this was that they could not tolerate to see someone who is better than them. Or to see the upper hands achieve what is rightfully theirs. That's the only reason we can imagine. But just being jealous. They just despise the reality that there are people who are better than them. That's all. So what lesson can we draw from that? Huh? Those small, little, tiny things we consider them, you know, it's just an ethical teaching. You shouldn't be jealous. Oh no, my dear. Sometimes may lead to a catastrophe for a Muslim ummah. Just being jealous. And that's why in our narration has been said by our infallible imams, إِنَّ الْحَسَدَ لَيُذِيبُ الْإِيمَانِ كَمَا يُذَابُ الْمِلْحِ فِي الْمَاءِ. It's going to affect your faith, that it was going to collapse and be destroyed and demolished. There will be no faith. Exactly in the same way a piece of salt, when you put it in the water, what's going to happen? Is there any more a piece of salt? No. To be jealous, remember, is a danger for Muslim Ummah. And do not underestimate the danger of that. So, now we can understand how successful society functions as it functions in a complete harmony. And I mean what I'm saying, complete harmony. When its members not only allow a competition between their members to continue harmoniously in a peaceful environment, and what's more, help each other to grow together, to serve Islam, to serve the Lord, and to serve Muslims. This is a successful society. You don't expect to be a successful society if you are jealous when it comes to each other relationship. Why she is more beautiful? This applies now to some ladies, you know. And some men who say, why is he richer than me? Why is he more knowledgeable than me? And you can change, you know, the examples, doesn't matter. But I wanted to address both our ladies and our brothers and sisters, both. Well, listen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has distributed His wealth, has distributed His, you know, knowledge. The divine teaching has distributed all of that amongst His creatures. And it's all based on justice. You deserve that, she deserves this, he deserves that, that's all. If you have been blessed with something and you are deprived of something, others have been deprived of so many things. So do not feel jealous. Just be satisfied with whatever God has given you. And be proud. Al-qana'atu kanzun la yufna. It says in our narrations. Qana'a means to be satisfied with whatever God has given you. This means qana'a. Al-qana'atu kanzun La yufna. Only such a healthy relationship will be able to save the Muslim Ummah. What's more, this mentality was promoted through the prophetic tradition when he said, La yakmalu imanu ahadikum hatta yuhibba li akhi ma yuhibba li nafsi wa yakrahu li akhi ma yakrahu li nafsi. I translate, and wants to quote what the Prophet ﷺ said in English. Your faith won't be accomplished without that you love for your brethren, whatever you love for yourself, and hate and despise for him to be through what you hate and despise to be through. Exactly. Now can you please tell me which one of us we really live up to this standard, high standard? Huh? Do you really feel happy when someone got blessed with Allah's mercy with something? Do we really feel that? Well, that's what the Prophet ﷺ wanted us to be. And therefore I have chosen a good example of painting which reflects, and it is called actually, harmony. Harmony. When you want a harmonious society, you have to have a healthy relationship. Otherwise, it would be a complete failure. And I'm sorry, I have to say that. This is our problem. Muslims are suffering. Why they are suffering? Don't pretend everything is because, you know, istikbar al-alami, shaitan al-akbar, this and that, only because the enemy is attacking. Oh yeah, what about us? What about us? Do we really help each other? Do we really stand with each other? Do we really love for each other whatever we love for ourselves? Now I'm addressing about myself, you know, I'm talking about myself. Am I really that? Let each and every single one of us ask himself, am I really doing that? Would you be really happy when your brother and your sister have been blessed having a baby while you have been deprived of having a baby? Huh? Will you? Or do you feel jealous? In another narration it says, in a very nice traditions and a very convenient example, it says, يَأْكُلُ الْإِيمَانِ كَمَا يَأْكُلُ النَّارَ الْحَطَبُ. Just like a fire burning inside the heart of a jealous person. Just like fire. كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارَ الْحَطَبُ. Imagine your house which is built of wood would be burning down by fire. This is jealous. This is to be jealous. This is a good example, a convenient example of how a heart would be when you are jealous. There will be no faith. No faith. So I would say the current miserable condition, don't pretend only, you know, because of, you know, shaitan, like, oh no. It's because of Muslims, and I would say, okay, partly related to the lack of an attitude and of unselfish support. Why? Because we have ignored this prophetic principle. Didn't he say, to love for your brethren whatever you love for yourself, to despise for them whatever you despise for yourself? Only because this prophetic tradition is being ignored, we are suffering. And you are living in a miserable condition. Yes? Or even when we theoretically believe in that, everybody, you know, speaks about, you know, sacrifice and doing, theoretically. But in the practical field, well, we behave like dictators. And I found a very nice, convenient caricature, which is called The Harmony Boys. And it was drawn by David Law. And this caricature is called Harmony. Well, Harmony, you know, Harmony within a team that they are, you know, in an opera, they are doing, you know, their musical instruments has to function in a harmonious way. Any form of imbalance would affect badly and negatively the whole ceremony,
And that's what he has done. The one who's dirigent here. The dirigent is who? Adolf Hitler. Remember, these are the harmony boys. The dirigent is who? Is Adolf Hitler. And who are, you know, singing in that opera? Can you imagine? Joseph Stalin. What's more? Benito Mussolini. And what's more? You can add Saddam Hussein, you can add the Shah of Iran, mashallah. Well, we're talking about Muslims, aren't we? So we speak about harmony, and definitely there are some people nowadays who consider Saddam Hussein to be a Qaddis. He's like a saint for Muslim Ummah. Oh yeah. Well, I would put him under one of those, you know, harmony boys. In an ironic way, he painted that. And you may find it if you Google it in your internet. Or not following up with life in a progress and developed world. This is one of our problems as well. Thus, it is not enough to believe and to pray while implementing primitive methods. You know, in our narration it says, do not pray al-da'i bila amal kal-dharibi bis-sayf bil-qawsi bila watar. You are not doing anything if you just sit down and pray. Praying requests and requires actions afterwards. Oh Allah, may you protect us. Make us victorious against our enemies, our egos. And in practice, are you doing that? Do you take any practical steps? No. So what's the point of praying? Or to believe without standing against fitna, as crying without practicing, or believing without acting, is and are futile and pointless. You won't achieve anything. The narration from the Infallibles explicitly states, faith requires, and I'm quoting here, al-ilmu yad'u al-amal. فَإِنْ أَجَابَهُ فَهُوَ يعني you'll be a knowledgeable and a man who's practicing فَهُوَ وَإِلَّا ارْتَحَلْ there will be knowledge, no knowledge anymore. Faith requires translating, knowledge requires translating word into actions. Otherwise it will fly away. And the good example I have chosen here for you, have you heard about Geert Vlaanderen? You are not living in Europe, so you don't know what this guy has done. A Dutch MP who has produced a film called Fitna. And what is Fitna? Fitna not caused by a munafiqeen, by hypocrites. Fitna is caused by Quran. Who is he? That's how they pronounce it actually in Dutch. Geert Vlaanderen. They do not pronounce G, you know, Geert. Geert Vlaanderen is calling for justice and to stand against fitna. And therefore they have painted him in this way of the sign and symbol of Nazis. Can't you see? This cross, which was the symbol and the sign for Nazis. So the Husseini lessons, my dear brothers and sisters, are to promote life with dignity and death with honor. I am really sorry to see and to hear some even Muslims, but I am here concentrating, focusing on this guy, saying that Islam or Shia or you know, Imam Hussein, you know, calling for death. Shia Islam, Imam Hussein promotes death. This is one of the manipulation of the Western mass media. That Imam Hussein is promoting death. Who said that? No. I want you to be proud that Imam Hussein has promoted life, not death.
But he taught us how to live and how to die. Yes. It's manipulating to say that Imam Hussein wanted us to die. No. He wanted us to live with dignity and die with honor. That's what he wanted from us. So all those narrations that have been quoted Imam Hussein, it's not to encourage us to go and commit suicide, kill each other, otherwise we'll be just like those American sick, you know, students and those who are attacking, you know, markets and, you know, the mall and killing innocent people by machine guns. Wow. Is that following Imam Hussein? No, these are sick individuals. They suffer from mental disorder. It has nothing to do with the teaching of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein is to promote life, but life with dignity. Death, but death with honor. When he says, فَإِنَّ أَنِّي لَا أَرَى الْمَوْتَ إِلَّا سَعَادَةً وَالْحَيَاةَ مَعَ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا بَرَمًا, he doesn't encourage us to die. No, he says, live with dignity and die with honor. Your life must be given a new meaning. He's trying to teach us what's the real meaning of life. What is the real meaning of life? While you're being oppressed, while you're being killed, while you're being deprived of what's rightfully yours? No, this is not life. This is death. That's what he said. فَإِنِّي لَا أَرَى الْمَوْتَ إِلَّا سَعَادَةً وَالْحَيَاةَ مَعَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Look at this. Living with oppressing dictators, criminals. Living with them is actually a big problem. And that's why he wanted us to learn the real meaning. He's trying to establish a concept. What is a real life? And what is to die with honor? So live with dignity and die with honor. So he was following actually his grandfather, the Prophet ﷺ, and Imam Ali's footstep. Why? When he said, فَإِنَّ الْمَوْتَ, Imam Ali is quoting to have said, فَإِنَّ الْمَوْتَ فِي حَيَاتِكُمْ مَقْهُورِينَ. If you live while you're being oppressed, you are dead. So he's trying to establish, enlighten our hearts, what is the real meaning of life and death? وَالْحَيَاةِ فِي مَوْتِكُمْ قَاهِرِينَ. But if you stand against injustice, if you are a free man and you fight back and you die, then you are a living man because you die with honor. So, to call for something, but unfortunately this is one of our problems, when politician speaks about equal opportunities, but in reality, in their secret and social gatherings, express things entirely differently. And the caricature I have chosen here is actually a man who must be living somewhere, New York, you know, where the United Nations is located, building there. And I quote, they are looking at TV. I guess they are hearing about United Security Council, non-resolution, blah, blah, blah. And he's telling his wife, I quote, I don't believe in what he's saying. I'll tell you what's wrong with you, with the UN. You know, they are living close by United Nations. I tell you what's wrong with the UN. What's the problem? What's wrong with the UN? He summarized it in three single words. Can you imagine? What are these three words? What's wrong with the United Nations? Too many foreigners. Too many foreigners. What are you talking about? An exclusive club of golf? Or tennis? Of course, we're talking about the United Nations. So too many foreigners, too many black people, too many... Oh yeah. So as this is democracy, well, I don't know what to say. I doubted that this is democracy. And that's why we say Imam Hussein taught us the real meaning of these concepts. When we talk about democracy, and I do remember once Iraq was invaded,
So they came and had an interview. And some of these journalists, they are coming with their, you know, very tricky questions, being so sly sometimes. You know what they asked? Interviewing me. Do you believe, listen, this is a very good question. It's going to enlighten us and teach us what is the meaning of democracy. Do you believe, as you are an Iraqi scholar, do you believe that democracy is a feasible option for Iraq's future? After the collapse of the regime of Saddam Hussein? So what are you going to say? Western democracy? A feasible option? A workable alternative for Iraq? What are you going to say? Yes! You know what does this mean? So many things had to be, you know, left free. Homosexuals, gay, well, gays in its British context, not in its American context, etc. Democracy, people decide what do they want. That's if you say yes. If you say no, look at these Iraqis, they're so barbarians. They can't live up to the standard of Western democracy. So what are you going to say? Yes or no? Well, I just tried to be direct to the point, but I had to go through a passage. And I said, let us please define the meaning of democracy. And if you follow the logic and the same mentality and belief that American president followed when he described, when he defined justice, when he defined peace, while describing whom? Ariel Sharon, the butcher of Sabra and Shatila. When he described him as a man of peace, if we follow that logic, based on those premises, I would say democracy existed even during the reign of Saddam Hussein, alhamdulillah. So we had that democracy during that time. So you don't need to say yes or no. It's so simple as that. Conclusion. I'm sorry I've taken so many minutes, and I know it's a bit long here. Conclusion. It's because of we didn't have a presentation. So, first point. Keep your firm belief and you being a devout Muslim. Second bullet point. Combine constantly faith, knowledge, and practice. Third, follow up with the life's technology, development, and modern knowledge. Four, learn to grasp exactly what Imam Hussein wanted to teach us about life and death. Five, keep on the right path while promoting good and prohibiting evil. I'm sorry that today again we failed and we couldn't manage to put that on the screen, but inshallah they will do it tomorrow. Astaghfirullah wa lakum. Nadru bidu'a Imam al-Hajjah. Allahumma kulli waliyika al-Hajjah ibn al-Hasan. Salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaih fi hadhihi sa'at wa fi kulli sa'at. Waliyan wa hafidha wa qa'idan wa nasira wa dalilan wa aina hatta tuskinahu ardaka taw'a wa tumatta'ahu fiha tawila. Astaghfirullah wa lakum. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا نبينا محمد وعلى بيته الطيبين
اللهم صل على